When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Rock Your Voice podcast. Vocal coaching tips that will transform your voice, interviews that will inspire, industry guidance, and so much more. Without further ado, let's get on with the show. Today on the Rock Your Voice podcast, I'm joined by voice coach extraordinaire, Mindy Pack. Now, I've worked with Mindy in the past. She's absolutely phenomenal at what she does. She works with artists that you know and love, and I cannot wait for you to hear this conversation. It is packed full of insightful information and will help you elevate your career no matter what level you are at. I hope you enjoy. Here's my conversation with Mindy. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, thanks. I'm just like, what's on that's going to create noise? I haven't been in my studio for a minute.
I was going to say, yeah, it looks like you're back at home. And I will warn you, my dogs are going to make noise at some point. So if my dogs kick off, we'll just ignore them and I can edit them out nice and easily. So
that's all right. Yeah, finally back home after a bit of a jaunt the last few months, but it's good. Slept in my bed last night.
Yay! That's so awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of learn about your journey, how you got to where you're at, and I don't know how we're going to condense this, but we'll give it a shot. And there's just, I love also that there's always so much going on with you too. I'm like, okay, is she on tour? Is she on like some mission with kids? Or like, what is happening with Mindy?
The answer is yes.
This is a good answer. Let's start from the start. So when did music and or voice become your thing? What came first? Was it coaching or music?
Oh, for sure music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I started performing when I was like 9 years old. So okay. Music was always what was a part of me. I didn't realize to the extent of what it was
right
when I was that young, but I was involved at a very young age in a performing arts studio that was singing, dancing, having the leads. You know, when I was 16 in high school, I got my first professional gig and I went to Japan for a while.
Oh,
I left
wow.
school and performed over there for a hot minute. And so like, yeah, performing was always it. I never even had the idea of coaching
right.
until, I don't know. I mean, I think I was approached when I was 20. I was doing some of these, it was kind of like a USO tour where we were traveling to different countries and performing. And one of the directors was like, have you thought about coaching when we're off of this? Like, I'd love to have you kind of teach in my program. And I thought, cool, I'll need the money, let's do
right.
it. And I just absolutely fell in love with it, and I didn't, you know, so it was just never even a process that I even thought about till then.
Right. What were your favorite moments when you were doing all of that kind of performing and stuff before you started coaching? What were favorite coaching moments that you received from other people? Are there things that stuck out to you along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I had this one coach, her name was Jan. She pretty much, I mean, she was my first coach for sure. My daughter actually takes from her now. So
oh,
it's kind
amazing.
Of this fun full circle moment. But she was younger, but she just like pushed me in a way that was just like positive. And I just like, I wanted to be this woman. Like she just inspired me a lot.
So cool.
And she was hard on me, like for sure. Like there are moments that I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I want to like stab somebody in the eyeball. But realized that it was done in this like, really kind of tough love situation.
Right.
And like, I credit a lot of my drive and, you know, I don't perfectionism as far as like in my own voice, like how to get to that because mm-hmm. of the culture that she created with me where it was like positive, but also there. So I would say, you know, that was probably really positive. I had a really hard time when I was in university, you know, cause where I'm at, they don't really have a lot of contemporary programs. It was all classical.
Right.
And at that time, like being naive, I didn't really understand like what the differences were.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I'm not paying for school. Like that's stupid. So I actually went and sang classical for an audition, and everybody's like, there's no way you're getting in. And I ended up getting in and on scholarship, you know? And so that was like a complete different flip of like my training and program of kind of jumping into the classical world and truly finding out like I can be passionate about all styles of music. Wasn't my favorite.
Right, right.
But I could do it and learn about it and still have experiences. And ultimately it ended up really being an amazing benefit for my voice. So totally. I studied with a lot of people and kind of found my tribe. I currently have a coach that I've had for 15 years now. And still like learning. So
I love that you say that you still have a coach too, because mm-hmm. I think that's so important. Like, as you know, I've worked with you a bit in the past. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah. I just think it's so important that people sometimes get this idea that it's like you reach a certain level or you're like, well, now I'm a coach. Why would I be taking lessons? I just think it's so important. Like, what's your view on that?
I mean, I kind of go on a soapbox all the time when people ask me that. It's like, when I stop learning is when I stop coaching, you know? So I always think there's something to learn. And as coaches, we can't hear our own voices the way an outside person can.
Yeah.
And you need to have that additional feedback. And for me, I don't want to be limited in what I can do when I'm going out on the road. And so I need my voice to always function at full capacity.
Right.
You know, even if I'm sick or like something like that, like I just need to have somebody that just kind of helps me keep on track, because, you know, especially with touring and bouncing back and forth, like my voice can get shot with like no sleep or like going through or like talking all the time or demonstrating weird. Like I just, and it's something for me, like see, the way I got into coaching, because I loved performing.
Right, right.
Like I loved being on the stage. And so for me, it's like I get that half an hour for just me or hour or whatever it turns into be. It's for me and like my time and my build, instead of me constantly giving to everybody. It's a time for me to get, you know, fulfillment in that way. So it's also keep my voice in balance, but I think it's also for my mental checkup and clarity too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you do any performing still? Do you ever dip your toe in that?
Yeah, I mean, yes, the answer is yes. It hasn't been for a few years. The last show I did is I got asked to play Ursula in our summer series here in a big outdoor amphitheater, which was wicked cool. And it's like iconic role. So I did that. And then I have like a couple projects that people ask me to come sing on, or like these one-off things where I'll show up and perform it.
Right.
Different things. I did a big thing for Equality Utah, which is like the big advocacy for the state of Utah here, which is where I'm from, for LGBTQ rights. And so we had a huge gala of like 5,000 people. And so I came out and sang.
Very cool.
Like a song for that. So just like little bits in here, but touring, man, like I've been on the road like a lot the last 5 years, so it's made it so I haven't been able to do a lot of performing.
So tell me a bit about that kind of journey from like when you started coaching. What did that look like for you, and how was that transition into touring? Were you always like, when you started coaching, was it always as kind of high caliber as it is now, or was it a growth process?
I think everybody would be like, oh, it would be so cool to work with somebody on the radio, you know? Yeah. I made a Instagram story, this thing where when I started coaching, I started going through like teacher classes, you know, because I'm the type that I never want to be limited in what I can do.
Yeah.
And when I first started coaching, I figured everybody could learn the way I was taught.
Right, right, right.
And I learned very fast that is not the case. And so I really started diving into different methodologies and how to teach specific things and, you know, in the contemporary world. But I remember I took a teaching class where the teacher asked us, like, lay out all your goals. Like, what is it that you want to teach? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and I was young. So I was like, you know, I want to be a good listener. I want to be there for my students. I want to teach them confidence in stage performance, you know, like your standard answers. Yeah. But my number 9 was, one day I'll work with Justin Timberlake. And I just kind of like threw it out there, you know, and obviously I've been out on the road with him right now. And so to like see that manifest has been like really cool. But ultimately touring at this level was never ideally the goal, you know, that I wanted. You know, I worked at a performing arts studio for 10 years. I thought that's kind of where I was at. And when I left that situation, I really thought my like life in the coaching world was over. Like it was like a huge moment for me. And my husband's like, you'll be fine. And I'm like, I'm never gonna do it again. And then I like laugh about it now, because I think I needed to break away from that in order to get to where I was.
Right.
You know, here. But Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a journey, and one I never thought I was going to be on until I really started honing into the education part of it that I got, sure. And just kind of started building up and realizing how much more there was to it than just, you know, what I was taught.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that so much. That whole manifestation thing. I think I remember your post that you did, like write mm-hmm. it down, make it a goal, because it's so true. It happens. These things happen. So how long ago did you well, obviously you manifested that a long, long time ago. Who was the first person you went on tour with?
Oh geez. I need to think about this for a minute. The actual first tour, I think was Brandi Carlile, I think, was the first time I like legit went on the road.
Yeah.
I had worked with people like online and remote, but I think like the first, like pack a bag, go out, get on the bus, I believe was Brandi Carlile. I mean, it was, you would think I would know that, but everything kind of hit all at once. Right. So it was like four people together.
For sure.
I believe it was Brandi that I went out with first.
That's really cool. It's so awesome. Were you nervous? Were you excited? Because I just did my first bus tour with an artist, and it was like, first of all, I was like praying to God that I would not be put in the top bunk, because I'm like, how the hell do I get up and down from there?
And you're like, I'm short. I have these like short little legs. I'm like, put me on the bottom.
Like, that was my biggest fear. I'm like, other than anything else that could have happened on that tour, I was like, please not top bunk. And of course,
I feel you in my soul on that one.
But it's like, it's such a transition, like you say, from doing the online to the tour stuff. So what is the difference, and why do you think it's so important for an artist to have a coach on tour, on the road?
I mean, online, you get the half an hour and then you're done.
Yeah.
When you're on the road with somebody who's professional, you're dealing with a lot of day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're dealing with the sleep schedule, which is totally different, you know, because I call it artist schedule.
Yeah.
Because for me, with a lot of these guys, like my day doesn't start till 3:00. And then you go to bed at 3:00.
Yeah.
So you're like in this like weird flip, like this reverse circadian rhythm, essentially. Like, but you're just in this like weird flip. So adjusting to that with the voice and the time, and then you have weird nutrition stuff mm-hmm. because you're in catering or not in catering. You have sickness because all of a sudden you're with all these other people all together in this little like, you know, petri dish, you know, so you're dealing with a lot of stuff. And then the artist has a lot of like press and media and people talking and sound check and radio interviews, or like, oh, I have to now make this song acoustic, so how do we fix that? Because it's different than the original. And so you just have a lot of other working elements that kind of come into play, where instead of working a half hour, hour session, like when I'm out there, like I'm literally on call 12 hours, 13 hours a day.
Right, yeah. With the JT, I have to say, oh my gosh, I have to tell you this story real quick. So Jason, my husband and I, we were given tickets because I used to work in radio, like nosebleeds at Edmonton. And it was his previous, the Man of the Woods tour. Up in the nosebleeds. First of all, we were really thankful for those tickets. Then somehow we just got picked at random, come down to the VIP section, and we're just getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And I'm like, what is happening? How is this even happening? It was the best night of my life. Like, literally the setup for that stage was like, the bar was the stage. So you're ordering drinks and there he is just like walking across, high-fiving you as you're getting your drinks and stuff. And I was like,
that was a fun stage, yes.
Oh, it was incredible. But I have to say, that experience in itself obviously made it completely magical for us. But the band and the vibe that he has with the singers and the dancers and all of that stuff, it's just like, what an incredible crew. Like, it's one thing to tour with an artist, but to tour with that group of voices. Were you working with kind of everyone on the tour and helping
so
everyone?
So I got brought in at the end of Man of the Woods. So my partner, Rob Stevenson, was actually Justin's main voice coach.
Okay.
And I got brought in because he had to go out and there's a situation. And so I got brought in towards the end of that tour, and I was super nervous, you know, because here, like, someone I looked up to so much musically, and I think I went to every NSYNC show that ever came through.
I
did not miss one of them. You know, like, I was just, you know, a fan first, and then, but just, it wasn't like crazy fan. It was just like a fan of his like work ethic and performance and all of that. But yes, that is how he is. Like, he is very much like the team is a family.
Right.
And he respects and treats everybody that way. Like, when we warm up, it's like I get with him, we do our thing, or we bring in all the background singers and we do a big thing together. And then we isolate just him out to make things are going. And so he's very, very inclusive with everybody. And you can just, it manifests itself on the stage. Like, I've been on teams before where the artist doesn't even know their drummer's name and stuff like that. And you can just tell with that dynamic on stage. And with him, like, he knows family, he knows kids' names, he knows spouses' names. He's the best. Like, I love working with him just because he's so respectful and kind.
Amazing, amazing. Do you have a certain sort of, I know obviously on tour everything is kind of up in the air half the time, but do you have a certain schedule throughout the day that you recommend that you think is kind of best for the artist? Like, is there a certain time?
Oh, for sure.
What does that look like?
So if we're not doing any sort of press in the morning, like, obviously sleep is as much as we can to go through. And then in the morning, they have to do something physical just to get their body going.
Right.
This also helps with altitude. So when you're jumping from, say, California to Denver or Utah, where it's like a really high altitude, you're pushing the oxygen a lot more. Like, it's harder here. And so doing something physical for 20 minutes just to start acclimating really helps the body open up vocally.
That's smart.
Typically we'll do, I'll usually like shoot a text, be like checking in, like, how you feeling today? What's going on? Anything we need to know about? And then when we get to the arena or the stage or whatever, before sound check, we do a mini kind of warm up just to see like what's happening, kind of test in, you know, see where we're at. Then when we do sound check, I usually like will pick three songs with them that maybe the night before there was an issue, or just three that I want to tap into just to see what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just give me 50%. Like, don't push it yet. Like, just kind of like mark it so we can see what's happening, figure out what the slap back is in the arena, if there's a lot, if there's not, so we can adjust ears. And then from there, we'll then do sound check. If we have to recalibrate, we can recalibrate. If we need to do any sort of body work at that point, then I'll start throwing down the body work stretches, all of that to get even more physical, tongue stretches, like all of that. Then we usually break for dinner. And based on what their dietary needs are, because everybody's different, we'll load that in. And then typically 7 o'clock comes, and then it's, you know, glam, all of that. And then I go in last, you know, after glam, and then I do a heavy warm up, trying to just get everything really in balance, going through last minute checks. And then we take stage. During the stage or during the show, I have the whole show laid out with lyrics. And so I'll be following the whole layout, monitoring every vowel, how the approach is the effort off? Did we push harder here? Is the falsetto clear? Whatever, whoever the artist is, doesn't matter. Are we pushing too much air? Are you, you know, effort, all of that. And then just take notes just for my own brain for the next day. Some of the artists like that feedback. Some of the artists don't like that feedback. So it really does depend on who you're working with. But at least for me, I can then change the workout the next show to accommodate what happened in that show and kind of strategize with that. And then always, always, always do a cool down.
Yeah.
So in the cool down, we'll do a vocal cool down. I have a medical device that helps with inflammation and swelling and all that we use.
Amazing.
And then if we have to do any sort of other body work in there, just to like open everything back up again.
Very cool.
So we go back to neutral before.
Yeah. May I ask what that device is that you use?
Yeah, it's called the Beamer.
Okay. And what is
it? Yeah, it's on my website. You can look at it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's a PMFR system, and so what it does is it takes your blood oxygen and like pushes it to be about 30% faster.
Okay.
So it gets rid of like lactic acid and all of that, and so we can get rid of swelling and all of that. And I love it because I can do it for the full body, or I can isolate it just for the throat.
Amazing.
Or if there's like, if they have back pain or something like that, we can start doing it. A lot of athletes use it, you know, after
pro athletes use it
after like games and stuff like that. So we just do it. You know, they're vocal athletes, so we just kind of incorporate that same mental space and physical rehab after the show.
I love that. And that's what's so amazing about your approach too. And remind me about slapback, because I want to talk to you about that as well. But while we're on the topic of the kind of athlete, I just love that it's now like, I know a lot of coaches that are now really engaging in that sort of cardio side of things and getting the body as like putting that connection together, that it's actually, it's a whole body thing. Like, some people have always just thought of the voices, like, here's my mechanism.
Yeah, this is in a little box right here in the throat. But yeah, no.
So I think that's just so amazing. So is that something that you've always come at, or is that something that one day you were just like, oh, okay, for goodness sakes, why are we not working this whole system?
I mean, yes, I've always worked at it just because of like musical theater.
Right.
Like when you're dancing and singing, like, it's like a weird, like, I don't understand how people don't realize it. And it's not, I guess, like, to me, it's like a connection, because mm-hmm. when you're in a musical, you're rehearsing for 3-4 months, building up that endurance to do everything. Pop singers, they like have rehearsals for a week and they expect to go out and jump this marathon in a week to go out and do a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't understand how this is happening, you know?
Totally.
And like, with Justin, you know, the Man of the Woods, they put a pedometer on him, and in one show he's like 13.5 miles, just with the way that stage is set up and the choreography. And so he's literally running a half a marathon in a 2-hour period for the show. And so you have to work up, your body has to be able to meet that demand night after night after night. And so you just have to build up, you know, that that correlation. And so when people aren't, they don't get that, I'm just like, I don't understand how you don't understand that.
Yeah, you know.
So it's like, okay, let's break it down, you know, like, this is what it is. And same thing with practice. It's like people come and they're like, I can't do a 2-hour show without getting tired. I'm like, well, are you rehearsing a 2-hour show? No.
Right.
Well, then how do you expect to do a 2-hour show if you haven't built up that endurance?
Absolutely.
You know, bar gigs, you know, 4-hour bar gigs. Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to be tired. Like, if you haven't built your body and the stamina up to meet that 4 hours, then why do you have the expectation that you're going to meet it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so if you're, you know, that, and that's hard. So you got to, you know, you got to have the discipline to do it.
Totally. Totally. It is. It's wild. And also I think for artists that are just starting out as well, I feel like that obviously is going to help really balance the performance anxiety and that fight or flight too, when you first mm-hmm. step on stage and everything is like versus like, I got this, my cardio is with me, like, let's go.
Yeah.
I think that
it was fun to see that trend, seeing all the stuff like coming out, you know, because I'm like, good, people are going to start like thinking about it and seeing it and like getting into it. My caution is just like, make sure you're doing the right type of cardio for you, you know, because not a treadmill or a bike or like something, you know, like certain things may not work for you with the way that you're working things. So just make sure that you're doing something, you know, don't just mimic it, like make sure it's right for what your body needs and what that vocal demand is.
Absolutely. I love that so, so much. The other things that you have, we're going to stay on this topic because I want to talk about your massage as well. And you're always incorporating the tongue into all of the exercises too. So tell me a bit about the massage stuff. So you're a trained massage.
Yeah. So it's kind of a weird journey because I never wanted to be a massage therapist. That never once crossed my mind.
Okay.
But I went to school, and one of my really good friends and people I look up to is Dr. Ingo Tietze. He's the leading voice scientist. He and his daughter are very good friends of mine.
Amazing.
And so I went and finished his vocology program, which was super intense and totally not like where I expected myself to be.
Wild.
But because of that, it opened up a door where I got a study with a physical therapist who had a very specific protocol for the throat.
Okay.
And a lot of times it's medical people, physical therapists, and SLPs who are like qualified to go in and do it. But through connections, I was able to get there, and I figured out with the state of Utah how to have a license to touch so that I could work on it. And interestingly enough, like that was right before Justin and I started working.
Mm-hmm.
And so that obviously got incorporated into kind of what we were doing with Man of the Woods, but he has a body worker who's amazing.
Right.
And, you know, so I just kind of sat and like picked her brain about like what she does with him and that protocol. And we started coming up with a plan on how to bring it together
mm-hmm.
In a vocal warm-up and stuff like that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I kind of sat there for a second. I was like, I don't ever want to be limited in what I can do and in what toolbox I have. And so I ended up coming back home and with my husband being like, I think I have to go become a licensed massage therapist. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I know, it sounds so dumb, but I know how much this works and I don't want to be limited in what I can do.
Right.
And it could be really cool. And so, yeah, so I went back to school for a year and a half.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was intense because I was still touring, doing school.
Yeah.
Like, and it was right, it was prior to COVID hitting. And then COVID hit right in the middle of my schooling. So like trying to like finish all of it, like, I mean, it was an intense time to go through, but finished it. So I went into a lot of myofascial and structural and we did all these case studies and where people were like sports medicine or like whatever. And I did it specifically on the voice because I had access to an ENT clinic who they let me do case studies with them. So I would bring in singers who had never had, who had been diagnosed, say, with like tension or muscle tension dysphonia and like MTD or whatever, like extreme pressure, but their vocal cords were clean. And so they couldn't understand why. And so I put together these like three programs specifically, and I would put cameras down their throat while I was massaging and doing it. And you could literally see the vocal tract shift, kind of like why we're doing that, and get like realigned and like open up. And it was all without vocal exercises. Like I didn't do any singing with it. I just wanted to see if the body work could manipulate some of this stuff, if it was very specific, because a lot of massage program procedures, the neck is like a no-no zone. Like you can do like certain neck massage, but to get in really deep is like a no-no. And so my education is I went really deep into the neck and started doing all these other things, and then realizing the full body connection. So even like manipulation through the feet, leg, and psoas, how that could open up into the throat. And I had cameras and measurements that we could mirror it at the same time. And I was like, and yeah, this is the game changer right here.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just, it was like really fun. So yeah, I worked in the I worked in a few ENT offices for a while with regular patients. And then my schedule was just like so crazy that I couldn't become a, like an employee there, you know? So now I just, we just schedule as needed when I'm home.
That's so cool.
But yeah, it's been, the body work has like truly been a game changer in what I've been doing, like from graduation moving forward, and what I do with all the artists and even artists that I don't even work with. You know, so I just get called out to do the body work and they don't even know I'm a voice coach.
What an amazing combination, because I'm always telling people even just to get a massage, and the difference when that release and everything on the voice is just incredible. Is this something that you, I mean, obviously there's just a whole entire world of formalities and stuff behind all of that, but is there, or could there be like a course specifically, like you say, all of the things that you learned and studied, the things that you kind of created, is that something that, that further down the road?
Yeah, I mean, people have asked this a lot, you know, like going through, and it scares me because when I went and did my first training with just the throat, it was a 40-hour course. And then it was like, okay, bye, you're done. There was no insurance. There was no, I mean, I'm stupid. Like literally I say that, I'm like, I was so dumb to like just go out in the world and be like, I got it, you know? And you know, it's like, you know, you don't know what you don't know, essentially. And so like I was doing it and realized like how much of a difference it was. And it makes me nervous that people, if people were to take like a 40-hour course and then put hands on somebody, if they really don't know the anatomy and the details and the nuances of physical touch. Because if you hit wrong in the neck, like you're done. Like I've had, there's been a couple people, professional clients who I don't work with them, but all of a sudden I get a text from their doctor and they're like, can you jump on a Zoom right now? There's somebody, like one was currently in Florida. I had never met this client, and they're like, they saw somebody who did a laryngeal massage and now their throat's totally seized up and they're going to have to cancel the show tonight. Like, can you see if you can work through it? So I jumped on this call and like, sure enough, they hit something and it just like seized. They couldn't move their neck, couldn't turn it. And so we ended up, you know, after 30 minutes getting that to move, but this person took a weekend course and then went to an A-list artist and they almost canceled a multi-million dollar show because they did something wrong. So that like, that makes me nervous, you know, to have that kind of like liability. Cause when you put your hands on someone, you're automatically taking on responsibility and liability. And the person that you're working on may not be educated enough to ask the right questions or to look at the background because it's like a trusting thing. So, like I have a self massage protocol, that I've worked through with people that's that like cool. they can teach them themselves, and that that I feel comfortable like showing.
Yeah.
But like the inner details of like moving stuff around and like getting in there, it would be like, I feel like that should be a regulated feeling.
Absolutely.
Because of what's happening.
Absolutely. I almost feel sometimes that even voice coaching should be a regulated field, because it can get real sketchy if you're seeing the wrong person. Things can go real, real bad real quick. So
listen, I'm not against that opinion. Like, there's been plenty of times I've teamed up with people and I'm like, I don't understand what's happening right now. Yeah. Like, literally, I'm so confused. But okay, we're going to go with it. And I'll try and be nice when I step in and be like, okay, that's great. Let's try it this way now.
Totally. It's so wild, actually, that I mean, that it's great that there's so much education and stuff out there. But at the same time, I've been part of seminars where literally four people back to back have completely gone opposite of what each other is saying. And I'll be like, oh, and up next. And I'll be like, oh God, do I have to? Like, what is happening here?
You and me both. I've like sat on panels with the other people where I'm like, you're even saying the wrong anatomy.
Yes.
Like sitting there and I'm like, okay. You know, like going through, and how do you navigate that without, you know, going through it? And that's what I think is a disservice with online stuff right now.
Yeah.
Is there's not a regulation and the general public don't know how to filter what's correct and what's not correct. You know,
totally.
It's like same thing with those. I mean, this is my soapbox too. Those stupid voice teacher react videos. I freaking hate them.
Yep.
It's like, what's the point? Like, I don't know. I just,
what does it serve? What does it serve?
I just think people just have to dissect it more and like be really careful what you put out and that you can back it up when challenged. Cause I think a lot of people don't know what to do if they get challenged on it.
Totally. And of course, a lot of beginner singers are looking for that instant gratification to hit that note or to do that certain thing without the foundation behind it. So yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Word of warning, be careful.
Yes. Do your homework.
Yes.
I always want to be like to those teachers who have opinions. I want to be like, can you demonstrate that for me?
Yeah.
And I've done that in workshops where I'm like, I don't understand what you mean by that. Can you demonstrate what you're trying to teach? Because I need to hear it. So then I think I'll get it. And like 70% of the time they cannot.
So just it's a little wild west out there. It's kind of like the new level of the music industry. The music industry in general has always been a bit of a wild west, and now there's people who are coming in as I mean, that's kind of part of the fun of it, really.
Totally. Yeah. No, where you stand.
And also, I guess it gives you the flexibility to try different things too. Like if you have something that works and is safe and is great and is good, you can bring that to your practice. So I guess on the flip side, there is that too. So,
I mean, like prime example, and I say this all the time, like obviously I have the Voice Draw, you know, it's a company that I, you know, created, you know, after education with Dr. Tietze and these different diameter straws. But, I mean, my marketing people are like, they're gonna be like, I can't believe you said this, but I don't use straws with everybody.
Right.
You know, like they work for some, they may not work for some. This straw may work for you, it may not work for you.
Absolutely.
And so that's like all about knowing why things work the way they work, really knowing the person that you're working with so that you can make sure that things, you know, that we're doing what's best for the client, not just because that's what you think it should be or that's your own personal experience. So therefore it has to be with everybody.
Totally. It's so true. Like knowing what works for the person. And again, that's the other thing with coaching that I found along the journey is the communication style too, because like if you're saying something that makes some clients I'll have that be like, you're picking up everything I'm putting down in our first session and this is so awesome and the results are coming. And then you have other people who have just as good an instrument, like they can achieve all these things, but sometimes it's just like the communication and explaining things a certain way for different people. Like, so yeah, different techniques, different approaches for all different people.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why your toolbox needs to have lots of tools.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you need to like, you know, work smarter, not harder. So like figure out like what works so that you can, you know, you have it available when you need it.
Absolutely. Speaking of toolboxes and that kind of the comment you made about slapback and the venues and stuff, how did you learn about all of that to be able to apply that to working on a tour?
Yeah. I mean, well, we all know like walking into different arenas and different sounds and all of that, like it changes based on the shape of the acoustics, all of that, and how much like push is coming from, you know, your sound, mm-hmm. just even the music and like where the stage is set up or your drums. And so, you know, that's actually where I got really invested into in-ear monitors,
right?
Because that is like where it can get, you can regulate,
yeah,
so that you're not pushing harder than you need to push just because of the acoustic that you're in. So mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate for ear protection, ear protection, and then also in-ear monitors so that you don't have to work harder as the vocalist. So
yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much we'll go in there and just sing and we'll see how far that echo comes back in. Right. So we know, like, we kind of calibrate what that is.
I love it. I love all of this, Mindy. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. This is just, it's so awesome. And I, this, again, it comes back to that manifestation thing, me having done like my first tour with an artist who I absolutely love and adore. And I'm just like listening to you and I'm just like, okay, life goals. I'm going to go write down one heck of a list in a minute now. I'm super excited.
Listen, let's see. I think I have it right here. This is my journal for, let's see, is it this one? Where is it? I had it right here. Yes. So here's my 2024 journal right here. It's my purpose. So like going in and doing it, it just has like some awesome quotes and all of that. So I do it every year, and I put stuff in there with like obviously personal life and professional life, you know, because for a while professionally I was like, I don't know what else to do. You know, like what else is out there? And I was, and it was like, it freaked me out for a minute because I always have a goal and I always have things that I want to work on. And there was a good chunk of time like last year where I was like, I don't know what else to do. And it felt so uncomfortable because I'd always had something I was working towards. And like, it was like the first time in my life I didn't have anything. Okay. And I realized that that was the goal for me. The goal was to like sit into all the hard work that I've put into for 15 years. And to just sit into it and enjoy it, mm-hmm. and to like recalibrate it. And then in the stillness is when things came in my brain where I was like, okay, this is the next 5 years. This is where I see things going. So sometimes you have something and sometimes it's okay to just be still and listen to what it needs to be.
Yeah. I so need to hear that. And I laughed when you said you came home and told your husband you're going to massage school. And he's just like, what? My husband, honestly, I could come in and tell him the most random thing any day. And he'd be like, okay, here we go again. Here we go again.
That's Brandon. I'll like call him. And I'll be like, hey, babe. And he can tell by the tone of my voice.
Yes.
I'm going to drop something. Or like, are we good? Because it's about to get thrown down. And he's like, it's been awesome. I mean, like touring was never part of our vision as mm-hmm. a young couple and being married and obviously we have kids and, you know, he has been nothing but supportive. And I call him my grounding force, you know, like he holds down the fort while I go out and is my number one supporter. And, you know, he's the one that's like, all right, let's go for the ride, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am very lucky.
I hear you 100%. Like we recently moved out to a farm and it's like, okay, we've got baby goats and horses and all the things. And it's like, I'm going on tour now. See you later. Bye. And he's like, well, this is what I signed up for. I signed up for you. I knew what I was getting into. So
that's what he said. He's like, I married the tornado. I'm holding on for dear life. Let's go.
I love it. I love it. Oh, Mindy, you give me so much hope.
I'm like, he's working next door. I should be like, babe.
Yeah, totally. He should have his own episode on how to handle the madness.
Literally. You know what? I'll bring him in and he can do a little snippet.
Yes, totally. Totally. I love that. Let's get him in.
I'll see if he's in a meeting. He would think that's hilarious. I'm texting here real fast.
I love it. I love it. I'm trying to look here. I know I have my book here. Here it is. It actually kind of like, I'll tell people, it kind of creeps me out because I'll look in here and it'll be like, what am I doing? And it's like, whoa, buy a farm with chickens and goats and a space to host retreats. And I look back in the book and I'm like, okay, this is weird.
You're
so right.
I have it on my phone. Like I put different things down. Like I want to do this. I want to do this. And it's like fascinating to come back and look at it and be like, the universe is good.
Totally. It really is. So, okay, I'm thinking touring artist has a voice coach on the road for the first time. What advice would you actually give the artist to be like, to get the best out of the situation?
Well, first, I think that the artist needs to, or the coach and the artist need to make sure that they're synergy together, mm-hmm. you know, that they jive. There's been times where I've come out and management's brought me in and they haven't even told the artist I'm coming in. And so we've had to like, are we even a good fit?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that out the gate, you need to make sure that you have a fit. And from the coaching standpoint, there is absolutely no agenda that you are there to support the artist. The artist is always first and foremost, the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that the coach needs to understand the genre of what the artist is doing. Because a lot of times the artist's fear is that working with a coach, they're going to change their fingerprint or their style.
Yeah.
And that could be a belief based off past sessions, or that could just be a fear based off of, you know, talking to other people or what. I mean, the voice is their fingerprint, it's their instrument, and where they've gotten so far, you know, haven't had issues. So that would be my first thing, is making sure that that synergy is there and that you align with the goals of what's happening.
Yeah.
And to really tell the artist and the artist tell you, like, what is the need?
Yes.
The need may be just, I just need a warm up. It may be, I just need some emotional support. If you're coming in after an injury, that's like a whole other ball of wax, because you have this like mental component that's literally going to be stressed, but you're also going to be getting all the stress from management and teams. You know, so you just have to be in a very good headspace yourself, and positive, and just, you know, be in that pocket with them.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be experiencing a lot of vulnerable and personal things. And, you know, you just have to hold space for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I find like the mental wellness is such a huge component of it all, like, especially in a sort of touring or sort of a long-term relationship with an artist, it sometimes turns more into like, okay, how's your brain doing with all of this? How are you coping with the stress and all of the external stuff as well, as from a voice coach perspective? Cause
I usually have a code word. Like, because, you know, a lot of times, like, people on the tour, they don't have access to the artist. Like, I have access to the artist. And so every artist that I work with, we have a code word. And if they text me, I go in and clear out the room.
Right, right.
Even if it's management, family, friends, whatever.
Yep.
You know, so there's lots of things and strategies that you can, like, go into so that you can help them, you know, be there.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes, like, as a coach, we want to come in because we're like, hey, let's fix things, let's do it, let's have this, and that's not what they need. They don't want to worry about every vowel in every single song, or they don't want to worry about this and this and this, you know. And you have to be very careful how you approach it. Totally. You know, if you are going to fix something, you know, and be like, hey, can we look at this riff, or can we look at this line, like, something wasn't really sitting right, did that feel okay to you? Can we work that? Okay, you don't want to, all right, cool, well, we'll just kind of figure it out. And then warm up next, we're like, yeah, okay, let's lay it out.
Yeah,
you know, so you know, a lot of times, you know, we want to be busy and like
totally, you
know, go through it, and a lot of times you're just sitting back waiting too. So
yeah, it's getting that invitation to do the changes, and that's
100%.
Yeah.
Being in the space where it's just you and them when you do talk about it, instead of around other people.
Absolutely. No, I love that, and I find that like is really kind of sacred and really special too. It's just, it really is what makes our job, well, yeah, jobs.
Yeah, special. And I also think too, like, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you're there for the artist. You're not there for your own publicity.
Absolutely.
And your own marketing.
Absolutely.
You know, and the minute you start using their name is the minute there's a red flag that comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, because like, you'll notice, like, I'll post stuff, but it's never behind the scenes. It's never, even in this interview, like, I will not talk details.
Totally.
Like, going through things, you know, because there's a sacredness that happens when you're allowed in the space of somebody like that.
Absolutely.
And any space with any client, it doesn't have to be a professional client, or, you know, it can be someone that's just starting out. But there's a sacredness that comes in when you're working with somebody's voice.
Yes.
And so you just need to respect that. And, you know, again, the intention is about the artist. It's not about you and it's about the artist.
Yeah. I love that so much. And I think that is absolutely key. And that to me is always, it's a red flag when I'm looking to learn from other people, or when I'm looking to talk to people on the podcast and stuff. It's like, is this just going to be a talk about someone else? It's like, no. I want to really dig into like,
the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
The meat and potatoes.
Oh, Mindy, thank you so much. I assume your husband is busy, but we'll have...
I don't know if he saw it. He's literally in the office. I'm going to snag him and be like, they want to know what it's like being married to the hurricane. Hang on. Oh, he's here.
Yay! Wait, we have to
get on camera for a podcast interview real fast.
Hello! Well, here we have a prime example of the hurricane in action.
You're not being set up.
No,
this is Brandon. This is Emma.
Hi, Brandon. Lovely to meet you.
This is my boo of what, 20, a little over 24 years now.
Oh,
that's
amazing. And you guys go on all these trips together too. When you go on your
humanitarian ones,
yes,
yeah, so we've done. Amazing. He did one without me. I did one without him. Last year we did it together, and this year we're doing it together.
That's so amazing. So
we do it. I love it. It's so much work. I love it because it's like lotion on my soul.
Right.
Like,
right.
It keeps me grounded. I was actually telling somebody on this last run of tour that I was on that I go, it was funny because the last time we did Cambodia last year and I came back and I had to fly out to be on the road like 4 days later. And I'm sitting there and the team's like freaking out because some designer didn't come through on something or there was a shoe that was wrong. Right. I can't remember. There was like something that was big and they're looking at me and they're like, are you upset? And I'm like, I'm just glad I have toilet paper today. Like I'm trying to process this right now. Cause it was such like a flip. I'm like, there's toilet paper. So I love it. Cause it keeps me, it's good for my soul. And I get these amazing experiences with my family. So
yeah.
It's helpful for our boys to get out, see the rest of the world, how other people live.
Yeah.
Like, they really need to get
different cultures
out of their bubble and really see what the rest of the world's like. So,
and I love the age group that we go with. Like, yeah. They're the best. It actually gives us hope for the future of like these kids coming in.
That is so
good. It's freaking awesome.
They're such hard workers. So down to earth. And we have so much fun.
Oh, I love it. So we had to pull you in because Mindy and I were laughing about how we don't know how our husbands deal with us. We'll get home and it'll be just like you can tell by the tone of voice. It's like, oh, she's gonna drop another one. What's happening? What's going on?
It's true. Yes. I can relate.
What's your number one coping mechanism there?
Bourbon.
Yeah. Whiskey.
Solid choice. Oh my gosh. Well, we wanted to take a moment to thank you and share appreciation for you and all the other partners. Like you, support.
I'm glad I can support her. Like she loves what she does, and there's no way I could in any way want to feel responsible for restricting that. Like she's so good at it, she loves it. It's her passion. So I'm happy to support that. It's not easy taking care of the kids, and I hate cooking. I really hate cooking.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to sponsor dinners when I'm out of town, I will gladly take that one.
I was gonna ask, I was like, how was your first time when she went on tour and it was like crickets, it's so quiet here, what's going on? How was your survival at that point?
The first few I was super excited, wanted call me every day, tell me all about it.
Yeah.
Now we've gotten a little bit more used to it.
Yeah, a bit more
routine. I actually have to set reminders in my phone to call home.
Right.
Because I get so focused.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a sense of comfort. Like I know everything's handled at home because Brandon's here and the kids are good and like everything's gonna be fine. But I realize that I need to keep that connection and like go through and like have it. So there's strategies that over the years we've like, I've done a lot better. There was a while where I was like,
we wouldn't hear from her for a week.
I'm like, I'm sorry I didn't call home for 4 days. But again, we're on opposite schedules too. You know, like
it's
when I
vortex.
Was free was when he was in the middle of work, and when he's free and wants to talk to me is right when I'm in the fire.
Absolutely.
You know, so like we're really trying to figure out strategies that could like work together.
But yeah, we're her biggest cheerleaders. So we're
100%.
We're excited to hear how it goes.
I love
that. We want
to
hear all about her day and all like all the cool people she's meeting, everybody yeah. she's helping.
He'll start sending me, especially with Justin's tour, because he's friends with a lot of athletes.
Right.
So every city we go into or whatever, he'll send me like a whole roster of all the sports people. And he's like, don't embarrass me. Know who these people are. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And he's been dead on like a few times. So I very appreciate it.
That's amazing. Oh, that's wow. so good. No, it's so important. And I think that also like... that lays testament to you being so good at what you're doing too, Mindy, because it allows you to focus 100% on what you're doing. You're not stressing about a grumpy husband at home. Oh, he's going to be no. mad that I didn't call him back.
I'm not. Blah, blah, like, blah. Maybe I should, but like, honestly, I've never gone out and had an issue when I've come home. And if there's been an issue that arises at home, then like we work, you know, we talk obviously and like work through it. But nothing, you know, knock on wood, yeah. has been like yeah. super, super crazy. I mean, like, except for this last time, like the craziest thing that's happened this last was I was in England and my mom, for some reason, fell and shattered oh. both of her shoulders, you know? And so I hadn't, you know, I wasn't home. I wasn't able to do it, but Brandon like stood in and like took care of everything and went and helped and like amazing. Did all of it, you know, cause I wasn't there. So.
Amazing.
You know, and he travels for his job too. Like he's leaving for 2 weeks now. And so we've had many dates at the airport where my flights are scheduled and his flights are scheduled. And we oh. meet to have lunch at the airport as we like cross.
That's amazing. Because you
know, we try not to be gone at the same time.
Yeah. yeah. And luckily I haven't traveled as much the last couple of years. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's been good.
I love it. Thank you so much.
She's like, you see, I'm like, well, he's next door. Let's see if he's in a meeting. Like,
that was free.
Yeah, there we go. But here's my other half, my Yay! Grounding soul.
Thank to you. We appreciate you.
There you go. Okay. Thank you guys.
Oh,
appreciate it.
Love it. I love it, Mindy. It's so important because, and I think that goes as well for the artists on the road and the bands and the musicians and the whole crew, right? To have
yeah.
that support because, like I said, if you have the wrong type of person at home who's on your back,
it can be absolutely brutal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other
day. Is that our next coffee time break?
There we go. Mindy, this has just been phenomenal. Thank you so, so much.
Yeah, thank you for asking and all of that. It's so fun. And I just love that, you know, you're putting good stuff out and just being a part of it. So thanks for, you know, thinking of me.
Yay, always. It means the world. Thank you so, so much. And congratulations on the NSYNC kind of.
Oh, girl. Like, I'm still trying to process that one. Like,
it happened.
I'm like flustered. Like, I truly have no word. It like surprised me. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Wow.
I had like 1 minute prep time, like to get it in my brain and then just did it. And they were so amazing and so nice. And it was just fun. It was just fun to be a part of that comeback together.
Yes.
And everybody's asked me about it. They've all like, how was it? And asked me about you know, different things. And I was just like, you know, the thing that was, I think, so special, and the audience saw it too, but like, because I was honed in so much, was seeing the brotherhood
right.
between all of them. And just like that magic on stage again, and their like interaction on stage and how much so they good. Just genuinely love each other.
That's amazing.
It was really fun to see that.
That's amazing. Oh, well, honestly, I'll tell you what's fun is just sitting back here and watching all the things that you're doing because I just love it. I absolutely love it. You're giving me drive for me to write more in my book. And honestly, I'm like, Mindy, I'm putting it out there that one day we meet backstage somewhere and we can high five each other and our husbands can go have a drink at the bar and cry or whatever.
High five,
they
we're
going to
chest bump. What are you talking about? That's the high five, girl. And then I'm going to grab your tongue and be like, what?
I'm putting that in the book as soon as I hang up.
Yeah, tongue pull by Mindy.
It's done. It's done. It's out there. Explain that one when it happens.
Delivered. Got it.
Oh my gosh, Mindy, thank you so much. And yeah, this is incredible. And I'm just excited to follow along with the rest of the tour that you got coming up and all the other amazing things that you have coming up and just keep kicking ass.
It's gonna be a crazy year. So yeah. People want to follow, just follow on Instagram, Mindy Pack. Cause there's some fun stuff that's coming down the pipeline.
I love it. Okay, so I'll put all the links to where people can find you and follow and support and enjoy the adventure and the hurricane. All in the show notes there. And Mindy, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. It was an honor. And then, you know, maybe we'll do this again.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to hold you to that chest bump and whatever.
Yes,
it will
sure.
happen one day. It's out there. Well, have an amazing day. And thank you again so yep. much.
Okay,
take
see you
care.
Later.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to like, share, and subscribe. And if you do leave a review, it's really useful to help others discover the show. You can also check out the weekly vocal workout over on Patreon. I'll leave the links in the show notes, where you can access weekly vocal training from yours truly and totally rock your voice. Thanks again for listening. Check out Rocket Vocal Studios on social and on the web. And I look forward to seeing you again next time.